lost focus, what I mean by
Kidley. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson, and I'm in the studio with my co-host, Miss Earlene Anthony. And this week we'll be talking about outstanding women in business and the arts, with Glenisha Tiny Shears, CEO, editor-in-chief of the Business Magazine, also her personal assistant, Mr. Anthony Shatterwhite, who's a fashion designer. And I'm also delighted to have in the studio a poetic performance and interview by Michelle Autry, one of the best poets and performing artists in the Los Angeles area. Glenisha, Michelle, and Anthony, welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you. Hello. For having me.
Yes. Now, I'm delighted to have in the studio Glenisha Shears. She's the CAO, editor-in-chief of the Business Magazine, a magazine that deals with music, fashion, health, and politics. First of all, Glenisha, tell us a little about yourself and, you know, where you're from, how did you get to, where you go to school at, et cetera, like that.
Well, my name is Glenisha. I am from Oakland, California, the Bay Area. I graduated from Tuskegee University, and now I've been living in Los Angeles for the past 5 years now.
Tuskegee, historical school.
Woo!
Founded by the great Booker T. Washington.
That's right.
Very important school. Yeah. And I wish we could have discussed that a little earlier. You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about the connection with Tuskegee and the largest African American community that you have in the United States has its roots with Tuskegee. And it happened because during the time of Booker T. Washington, they developed, one of his students who developed the Negro Business League. Mm-hmm. And they would go to Harlem and start buying property in all white Harlem. And that started white flight. And eventually blacks began to move in, and now it's probably the largest black community that you have in the United States. And I guess it's appropriate to be dealing with business because this is what Booker T. Washington definitely emphasized, business and that Negro business lead.
Unveiling the veil of ignorance, that's what he was all about, and that's what we learned at the school.
Now, tell me, how did you get off into business? Tell us a little about your business background.
Let's see. Well, my first job I had at the age of 13 as a administrative assistant for my mom. So I guess business was something that was just supposed, it was bound to happen. My grandfather was a Black Panther. My family is very strong family as far as when it comes to education and setting certain type of standards. And watching my mom and her twin sister work made me know for sure that I wanted to own my own business and I wanted to run things the way that they did. Mm-hmm. And they owned a program called Project Success Academy, which was helping minority students raise their GPAs and go to college. And they sent over 20, 30 students to college.
Yeah, so your grandfather was a Black Panther.
He sure was.
Wow, up in that Oakland area, Alameda
County.
Actually,
my grandfather's from Los Angeles, 21st Street.
Okay, he was a Panther down here. Yeah, very important organization in terms of what they was doing, not only up in Oakland, Alameda County, but down here with all of the little food programs that they started that's needed now, you know. Now, tell us how you started the business magazine, the motivation for that.
When I graduated from college, I did a lot of jumping around. I went from city to city, state to state. I was promoting designers. I was promoting artists. I was throwing fashion shows. And when I moved out here to L.A., the biggest thing that I ran into was a lot of people wanted to know who the people know or why should we give them a chance? And nobody ever asked, do you have the talent? And so in my mind, as managing artists and people that were in the entertainment industry, I told myself, it doesn't make any sense. It shouldn't be this hard to give somebody an opportunity. So I wanted to start a magazine where I was highlighting the hidden talent right here in the community because there's so much talent. There's so much that the people in this community don't know or don't read about or don't even think about that I wanted to be able to fuse music, fashion, health, and politics together and show how they relate, show how they come together and show that they're not separate. And if we as a community start treating them as, you know, a unit, then we kind of will grow better as a community. Our businesses will be more profitable. Our youth will be more into, you know, being entrepreneurs. So that's why I started the magazine, because I wanted the talent and the people here, the small businesses, to get an opportunity to have somewhere where somebody could talk about them or see them or shine. Because you don't have to be a superstar to get in a magazine.
Now, yeah, I see that you also have your personal assistance here, Anthony. Anthony, you want to tell us about what your job is, how you fit into the organization?
Yes, my job is to assist Glenisha and all her day-to-day activities, making sure that everything is carried out. Make sure everything is carried out, you know, on a day-to-day operation. As far as helping her with the fashion side of the magazine, helping wherever the help is needed, you know.
Well, really, Anthony, I really started working with Anthony because he is going to be a big part of being able to allow the business magazine to tie itself back into the black community. Anthony has been here in LA a lot longer than I've been here, and he's worked with a lot of black designers, models, even just newfound black businesses. And I think that that's really important that the business magazine gets a face in that community. We want to be the next Essence or the next Ebony or the next Jet. That's our goal.
Wonderful. Now, also, Anthony, you are a fashion designer. Can you talk a little about that? How you got off into that? Your goals in relationship to that?
Well, I started designing clothes when I was about 14 years old. And I come from a family where they always, at that time, it was no such thing as a black designer. So they just kind of like discouraged me from becoming a designer at that time. So I kind of like put it off. But when I moved to L.A., I got back into designing clothes, and one thing led to another, and ended up going to school for it, graduating with a degree in fashion designing, and just started applying myself out here.
Mm-hmm. What's it like for a brother to work for a female?
Very humble. Actually, Glenisha is a very bright, mature lady. You know, it's I'm having a very pleasurable time working with her. I'm also having a time learning from her. Mm-hmm. You know, side of a business that I personally don't know myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, Glenisha, what do you think is the future of the... let's talk about some of the goals, the long-range goals of the business magazine, and also how do it fit into this new technology, you know, the web, et cetera, like that.
Okay. Well, our number one goal is everywhere you see a LA Weekly box, you see a business magazine box. That's my major goal. After that, we want to become international. We want everybody, we want to be a household name. We want to be the business magazine, the magazine that a mom or a dad or a sister or a brother can go into the store and they can pick up one magazine instead of three magazines that will satisfy the entire household. And the we relate to the new technology because, yes, we're print because we still have the people that love print, but we are also an online magazine. Anybody that advertises with the business magazine, your ad is a clickable ad on the online magazine back to your website. Mm-hmm. So we make sure that we stay in the face. We do have a Facebook. We do have a Twitter. We still have a LinkedIn. We stay in the public eye as much as possible and stay up front. I wanted to mention my sister because I didn't get the chance to mention her. But my sister is my business partner, and she's a graduate of Fisk University. And I wouldn't be able to do half of the stuff that I'm doing if I didn't have such a strong person on my side to help carry out a lot of the things that we do.
Is she out here in Los Angeles also?
Well, she was for the first year of us working together on the magazine. She was. And now she has moved to back to Oakland because we're going to open up an office in Oakland as well because we want to really build the whole California base. We want people from Southern to Northern California to know about the business magazine in our first 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then as we grow, the world is going to know about us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to come back in a minute and really get into some more discussions about the business aspect of it. At this time, I would like to turn it over to Ms. Earlene Anthony for our community calendar.
This is the community calendar for March, Sunday, March 11th at 3 p.m. Drama Stage Qumran, Nasana Play Reading Series, the Roby Theater Company, and Art Culture Entertainment presents Wrestling with the Gods, written and directed by Emma Arago. Danish Baroness Karen Blixen became a writer and an activist, Isa Dennison, while living on a coffee farm in Kenya. The play looks inside the writings, offers the questions, and leave the answer to the gods. This is a free event. Refreshments will be served. All are welcome to come. The location of the event is The Exchange, 114 West 5th Street, Los Angeles, California. More information on this event, you can call 323-850-4436. Sunday, March the 18th at 3 p.m., Drama Stage Qumran present Donald Fakir in a special book signing. His book title, I Too Can Create Light, a memoir in music, poetry, and prose. Donald Fakir is the author of The Crips and co-writer of its adaptation movie, South Central. Also on the program, we will have open mic. This also is a free event. The location will be the Exchange, 114 West 5th Street, Los Angeles. For more information, you can call 323-850-4436. And on Sunday, March 25th at 3 p.m., Drama Stage Qumran will feature Willis and Shantae in a mini concert. Willis is the founder of Positive Light Ministries, and Shantae is a young lady who is part of Positive Light Ministries, and Willis mentored and taught her how to play the guitar. Also on the program, we'll have open mic. This also is a free event. Light refreshments will be served. For more information, you can call 323-850-4436. And this is also at the Exchange. This is just a reminder, if you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com, attention Earlene Anthony. And once again, our call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Thank you, Miss Earlene Anthony. Okay, we're back with our guests, Glenisha and Anthony of the Business Magazine, a magazine that deals with music, fashion, health, and politics. Now, Glenisha, can you talk a little about some of the challenges of a woman running a business?
Oh, there's a lot of challenge actually running the business. First of all, I'm only 4'11", so I'm extremely short. And everybody looks at me like I'm a kid, so that's one of the biggest problems. And a lot of people don't really take it seriously that I'm actually the one that's running this business, or I'm the one that's in charge. I always get males that look over me and want to ask somebody else for help or somebody else for the questions instead of asking me the question. I always get people that decide that, well, I guess we'll just wait for the person in charge to get here. And I'm like, I am the person. So there's a lot of challenges being able to set up meetings, being able to go into meetings and be strong, especially as a woman, and hold my ground to the point where people understand that I mean business, that they can't get over on me, because I've got a lot of people that have, you know, tried to con me and woo me into one situation, into another situation, just because they feel that I'm a female running the business, so I'm not really aware of what's going on, I guess. So it's been hard, but it's been fun, and I've stepped up to the challenge, and I think I'm close to overcoming it.
Yeah. Now, how about the challenges of not only being a female, but also a minority? Do that come into play, too? Especially out here in the Los Angeles area.
It does, and especially, like, and I love the Hollywood area, so don't get me wrong, but especially in the Hollywood area, you have to have a certain look. You have to, you know, talk a certain way. Sometimes I even, when I call certain places, I have to say that my name is Olivia instead of Glenisha, because Glenisha sounds so, you know, black. But sometimes I even, when I call places, I have to say my name is Marie, which is, those are both my middle names, so they're still my name. I'm not lying. But I have to use all of my names to be able to get in the door sometimes to certain places.
Now there are certain advantages, I know, just like disadvantages for being both a minority and a female. I guess some of the advantages have to do with grants, funds that would be available, that would be available to a minority female that wouldn't, in other words, the door would be more open for a minority female than a minority brother, just say an African-American brother. What do you think about that?
I think that it's about time that there are some opportunities available for us. It's taken us a long time to get to this point to even be considered citizens or to be able to allow to vote. So we've earned that right to have forwomens.org and have women grants that are available for us. And there are a lot of them. But at the same time that there are a lot of them, it's still the challenge of getting it in on time and making sure that you're the first one, or that what you write on that proposal makes sense to them to even want to help you out. Because just because you're a woman doesn't mean that the money is just going to be handed to you.
Yeah. Okay, in terms of a proposal, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the importance of a business plan. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about that for a while?
Yeah.
For especially for our audience members out there who might be thinking about starting a business. How important is a business plan?
A business plan is almost the backbone of every, it's the backbone of every business. Anybody that wants to do business with you, the first thing that they're going to ask you for is your business plan. If you're having trouble putting together your business plan, the small business, if you go to smallbusiness.com in Los Angeles, they will help you. There are free classes, change.org. There's a lot of free classes that are out there that can help you with getting a business started. Also, your executive summary is mm-hmm. one of the biggest things. If you're having a challenge putting together the business plan, at least put together the executive summary part of the business plan
mm-hmm.
that lays out the who, what, when, where, and why.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest part of the business plan, and your budget.
Mm-hmm.
If you can put together a budget that says, I want $500,000 and this money is going to be spent on this and this money is going to be spent on this, then you will get people to say, okay, I'm willing to help you. Or you will get investors, because we run into that challenge. And mm-hmm. until we actually put together our budget and put together a really good business plan and our executive summary, a lot of people were still thinking that we weren't really running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we have that, it's opened up a lot of extra doors that we had a challenge of opening up.
Mm-hmm. Now, also another important, now how about the marketing analysis and marketing study? How important is that for the business plan?
Marketing, you really want to say branding. Branding is your biggest thing. Come up with a great logo, come up with a great name for your business, and brand it. Brand it as much as possible. Make sure that the name that you come up with, the colors that you come up with, are something that you want to stick with for at least the first 3 years while you're in business. Because people need to be able to recognize you without hearing your voice. People need to be able to recognize you without seeing your face. When people see our logo, they know that that's the Business Magazine. A logo is everything, and it needs to be a clean, professional logo. It's great to, you know, try to create it with word art, or, you know, try to have a friend create it, but you really want to take the time to put into your logo, because branding is everything. You want to brand it on stickers, on flyers, on t-shirts. You mm-hmm. want to put that out there, because as soon as you brand your name, people know you. It's supply and demand. If you can create a demand for your business, then the supply is just going to start multiplying itself, and mm-hmm. you'll be able to have it. But other companies that are really important is FBI and SCORE, SCORE. Those are two other companies that really help with growing businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Designers, people that are in the fashion industry, music artists. So those are two other companies you want.
Yeah, definitely SCORE, because you got a lot of retired professionals who make their service available free. Let's talk about another issue, the issue of, and I think this is one of the main challenges, especially for a very small business. And that's the concept of cash flow. You know, most businesses either fail or they get off the ground within that first year. And one of the main problems that keep them from achieving things is that they run out of cash to pay their bills, their expenses, and stuff like that. Can you talk a little about cash flow and the importance of it, and some of the ways to deal with that?
Well, I'm going to be honest. Cash flow is always a problem. I mean, I'm still having a challenge with that. But what keeps a business afloat no matter what is believing in God and always having faith. Because I don't know how I've been able to do what I've been doing, to tell you the honest truth. Like, seriously, you just have to know that what you have, your ideal is important enough, your dream is important enough, and continue to push no matter what. sometimes you have to make sacrifices. So if that means that you don't get to pay your cable bill for a little while and you want to continue to let your business grow, then you have to do that, because it's a sacrifice. Anybody that is any successful business that's out there, they'll tell you that they had to sacrifice everything they had in the beginning to get what they have now. So, I mean, money is very important, but the drive that you have, the will to make something happen, is more important. And I definitely could testify to that. Even to this day, I still have different cash flow issues, but I know I'm never going to give up. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Don't you give up.
Okay. Now, where do you see the magazine at in 5 years? Let's look down the road 5 years in terms of... how you want Business Magazine, some of the things, how you see it.
The Business Magazine is going to be the gateway to the industry. We are going to be the magazine that highlights you first, and after us, every single magazine, every single entertainer, every single person is going to want to do an interview with you. The Business Magazine is going to be in every household. We're going to be on every shelf at Rite Aid and at Ralph's. And we're even going to be on the shelves at Kmart, because I still like Kmart. But, you know, the Business Magazine is going to be everywhere. We're going to be international. We have a large Japanese audience right now. And our goal is to be everywhere. There's not going to be one person that's not talking about the business. Are you the business? I'm the business. Yeah, that's what it's about.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something in relationship to you and Anthony, in relationship to the fashion design. Do you have any fashion shows lined up? I mean, is that part of the plan also to... Because, Anthony, do you create your own line of...
Yes. We do have shows planned. I just finished up a lingerie fashion shows a couple of weeks ago. I'm currently getting ready for a show March 21st for the launch party for the Business Magazine. So we definitely have a lot of fashion shows in the works, showcasing mm-hmm. new designers, new models, new makeup artists, hairstylists, showcasing everyone.
Any location for the 21st show yet? March 21st?
The Entourage. It will be at the Entourage, but if you want to be at this launch party, you must subscribe to the Business Magazine. The launch parties are exclusive, invites only. They're VIP parties. You get the chance to meet the person on the cover. You get gift bags. You get the whole red carpet treatment. It's a really great networking opportunity. Some of the people that we have in this spring issue that's coming out on March 21st are amazing. I mean, people like Saisha Mikado from American Idol, Portia Beeman from Bad Girls Club. We even have Jarvi Hutchinson from the Multicultural Minority. And we even have Tony Boldy. So there's a lot of great people that are in this issue that you would love to be able to come shake hands with, network, and see how maybe they can possibly help you. But you have to subscribe if you want to be able to come to the party. And it is going to be a yellow fashion show. So get your yellow on and come hang out with us.
Okay. Earlene, did you have a question?
Wow. I'm looking at all of you, because as you're talking, you've answered my questions, because I know people love fashion shows. And one of my questions was, do you have fashion shows? If so, where? Do you use original fashions? Do you use your assistant's fashions? Or what line of fashions do you use?
Okay, so the way that our shows work, you have to be featured in the magazine in order to be able to be in the show. So this issue, we're featuring two amazing designers. They're rising designers. They have great lines. Some of you guys may know Paris Harris. Yes, he has his own line. And then we have Olavente. So each issue that comes out, we do a launch party on the day that the issue comes out. If you are a designer that's featured in that issue, then you get to be in the show. And they are definitely original designs. Paris Harris is our fashion coordinator, and he is amazing. So you guys definitely want to come and check him out. And we do an award show at the end of the year. So all the designers that are in the magazine, all the artists, all the new businesses that we hired in the magazine, the makeup artists, the hairstylists, the photographers, even the people that we do political write-ups on, they end up going on a ballot for the end of the year, the Biz Mag Awards. And so you get the designer of the year, the artist of the year, the business of the year. And if you want to be on that ballot, then you want to get in the magazine.
Wonderful.
Great.
Look, I heard that you and Michelle was part of an all-woman band. Can you talk a little about that, you and Michelle? Tell us, first of all, what was the name of the band?
Queendom Come. It was put together by Lady Dread.
Wait, what was the name?
Queendom Come.
That's a great name. Yeah. How did it come about? What's the status of it now?
Yeah. Well, Lady Dread started the band. She is an amazing artist. She put together this band of like some serious female, I don't know. Then we had violinists, we had saxophone, we had keyboard.
How many was involved in the band?
In the beginning, it was like 18 or something like that. It was so many. It was just like all these incredibly blessed and beautiful women. Come, I remember the first night I was there, you know, at Steve-O's studio. We had, two of us on the keys. We had like two or three poetess. We had a couple of saxophone players. And we had Faye DC on the drums. It was just amazing. It was about 15 to 18 ladies. And we had about four singers. It was just the most amazing experience. And then, you know, sister on the, what was her name? Sister was playing the guitar, and she just got up and started doing her freestyle dance. And so it was just a coming together of incredible, powerful, feminine energy. And all of these ladies were instrumental in community movements for the community, for children, for women, for abandoned women, for veterans. DJ Tiny to the World. You know, I never forget DJ Tiny to the World. And like I said, all of these women, they basically had ministries.
Mm-hmm. And where did the band perform at?
Oh, well, we went all over. We went to the Blue Monkey. Were you at the Blue Monkey?
Yep. And Club Liberty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And The Joint on Pico.
And we performed at a Roots, I think, reggae festival, which was amazing. And I think that was out towards Pomona.
Yeah.
And the Oasis.
I don't know if I was still with the band.
Was I? Yeah, the Oasis right there on Wilshire.
Oh, but you know, it was just the most amazing convergence of talent, feminine talent and energy, you know, until ego started to rear its head how everybody wanted their music to be played. But it was an incredible experience.
Was it a musical director? Was it someone in charge, like a director of the group?
That would have been Lady Dread until she started to exploit us in favor of her own. Well, it was most of it was her material.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all of it. And when we were just being used as a backup band, that's when most of the women started to leave, because either they weren't getting compensated or we weren't aware of the fact that we were just a backup. We were first Queendom Come, you know, where we were all, you know, like I said, promoting. It was just, you know, a reggae group, not a backup group for ladies. I mean, who's wonderful in her own right.
Yeah. What was your instrument, Michelle?
I was on the keys.
And how about you?
And backup.
I was the DJ.
DJ Tiny to the World.
She's
sharp. DJ. I mean, she's a beautiful spirit. I remember Tiny was always one of the most positive, consistently positive sisters there. You know, instead of, a lot of females, you know, sometimes that, you know, we can bicker, but at the beginning it was a really blessed experience.
You had drummers, all that.
That would have been Faye DC, an incredibly talented sister, and she was the drummer for the greater part of our tour of our performances.
That should have been amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. You can still check it out. I think it's still, some of it is on YouTube.
Okay. Oh yeah, you could definitely, you could even go to the Queendom Come Facebook, because it's still up.
Okay, I'm gonna look at some of it. Okay, now let's talk a little about both you and Michelle and Earlene, some of the women who inspired you in business and in life, but business also, since we're talking about business. Let's start with Glennis.
Michelle Obama.
Okay. Great choice.
I mean, she is a strong black woman. Like, I love her. I love seeing her. I love seeing her with her husband. I love seeing her with her family. It makes me know that it is possible to be a strong Black woman with a family, because there's a lot of are strong Black women that have their own businesses and that they're doing great, but they're all by themselves. And sometimes I get sad and think that, am I going to be by myself if I'm successful? So looking at her makes me know for sure that it's possible.
Yeah, and the amazing thing about that, Anthony, you know, you was talking earlier, like, what's it like for a brother to work for a female? And we think about the president worked for her first.
Exactly.
Yeah, she was his supervisor. Now he's the president and all that. Hey, that's a great choice. How about you, Michelle?
I would have to be in agreement with DJ Tiny, of course, and Oprah Winfrey.
Yes.
What I do appreciate about Oprah Winfrey is that the fact that she's given voice to a lot of men and women who have been sexually abused, because usually the victims are blamed. So while I wish she would marry Stedman Brothers, fine. There ain't no reason why she came here. And I think it's a most necessary and positive image for Black women, because today the movement, of course, is for white women to be number one married, and the Black woman is still either alone, professional, or on the side. And that's, you know, when we have more beautiful and professional established Black women who are married, it sends a very positive image that we too, you know, are God's chosen daughters, first, number one, not second to anyone. And I think it's important that we see these Black females who are married, beautiful Black women. Mm-hmm. So I'm praying that she and Stedman get it together. But I do appreciate the contribution that both of these and sacrifices that they've made. Yes.
Earlene.
I'm going to have to say some of the women in the Bible, some was named, some was unnamed. But the Lord used them to do great exploits and overcome a lot of trials, I'm sure, in tribulation in those days, because we think we got it tough now. But I think about the time period that these women lived in. I would not have wanted to live in that time period. Mm-hmm. But some of the stories I read about them is very encouraging. And like Tiny was saying about the faith, whatever it is you're doing, just believe. You know, you don't necessarily need a lot of finances or whatever. Just have that faith that this is what you want to do, and that you're going to be able to do it, you know, with the blessing of the Lord. And I know we've all overcome a lot of trials and tribulations just being women, being women of color. And we've always had to deal with a lot of things that some of the other races perhaps hasn't had to deal with. So I'm just inspired by a lot of especially the unnamed women in the Bible. Boy, they really did a lot of things, and you didn't even know who they were.
Okay.
They were just out there doing it.
Amen.
I like.
Go ahead.
One more person is my mom. I don't give her enough recognition, but she is definitely an inspiration to me, especially raising us as a single parent. I think that she did an amazing job. Both of her girls went to college. My brother is doing okay right now.
Is he in college?
No, he's not. But he has like 3 degrees.
Yes.
He just doesn't know what he wants to do with one of them.
Okay.
So, like, he's amazing in his own way, too. But my mom, like, she is one of the strongest women I ever know. And I love her. And my sister inspires me. She may be younger than me, but she inspires me more than you can imagine.
Yeah. Now, tell us, when we was talking about Tuskegee a little earlier, how did you end up at Tuskegee?
Ooh, I am the first grandchild of my generation. I'm the oldest of my family. And I had to do a lot of taking care of everybody else and babysitting and those type of things. And I wanted to get away. I wanted to get out of Oakland and get far, far away. But then also, I put together the first Black College Day at my high school, James Logan in Union City. And I brought all the Black colleges there. And I was able to really show people what historically Black colleges were all about. And then I end up going on a Black college tour. And after going on a black college tour, I told myself, like, there's no way I'm not going to a black college. Like, the empowerment, the way you feel about yourself as a woman, but then as a black woman, to be able to be in a school where everybody looks like you and everybody is working hard towards the same dream, yeah, is the most phenomenal feeling that anybody could ever feel. And it's so empowering to know that you have so many black people from so many places. I mean, you have black people from Brazil, you have black people from Puerto Rico, you have black people from Europe, and everybody is here under this one place to get an education and to better themselves. And it feels good. And I knew for sure that there was no way I wasn't going to go to any other school but a black college.
Yeah, my younger sister, she did an undergrad at Tukulu.
Okay.
In Jackson, Mississippi. Now she have a PhD. She got that from Ole Miss. And I talked to a few months ago how important that was in terms of the black college experience.
Yeah, because the colleges out here, the UCs, they're great. I'm not going to knock them at all. But when you attend those colleges, you're just a number. You're just a social security number, almost like being in jail. And I know that that's sad to say it, but you're just a number to them. Like, you're not a person. And at a black university, you're more than that. Your teachers, they give you their personal phone numbers. They tell you that you could come over their house if you need extra work. They care a lot more. They treat you as if you're not just a student, but you maybe could be their child, and they want to see you succeed. Mm-hmm. And we need that, especially if you go to school here in the States. Like, if you just go to a regular high school, and if you're in a regular high school as black people, you are 1 out of 10, you know, sitting in a classroom. And you're looked over and over and over again. Yes, there's BSU and all those other things, but that's not the real thing. So to go to a black college and you're more than a number and you're a person first, like, that is what made me be the person I am today. I'm not rich yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not a millionaire yet. But being able to know that I'm important gave me the backbone and the courage to even want to even say I'm going to start a business, no matter what anybody says.
Wonderful. Now, for those who want to subscribe to the magazine, what is contact information?
You can call 818-850-2499, or you can go to the website at www.thebizmag.biz. You can also Google us or go on Facebook, but the best way is to go to the website. It's only $20 for the entire year. That gets you to 4 exclusive VIP events, and it gets you to our Biz Mag Awards. And you're supporting a magazine that supports the community. So even if you're not really thinking that you want to get the magazine at your house and you don't know if you want to subscribe, think to yourself that you want to support your community, that you want to see your community doing something different. Every issue, we talk about music, all the new artists. We talk about fashion, nice, great, rising designers that are here in the community. We also talk about health. We have a really great health section. Last issue, we interviewed Dr. Sherilyn Lee, if any of you guys know who she is. And then we also have a really strong political section. Our political columnist, he's amazing, Jimmy Harris. He wrote about Mitt Romney in the last issue. And this issue, look forward to his write-up because it's amazing. And we also write about an amendment. In every single issue, we talk about an amendment. If people can advertise the new Jay-Z song, then why can't we advertise what your rights are? And So that's what that section is about. And we just want to grow the community. We want people to know about the community as much as possible and support them because it's important.
Okay. Thank you, Glenisha. We should have some time for final comments, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, our last section for tonight is from the Voices from the Ether portion of the show. Thank you very much. If it's 8:45, That means we're heading into the Voices for the Ether portion of the show. Our host, Mr. Tyrone Robinson, who is not here tonight, so you give me a chance to stand in for a few minutes, and it's an honor to have who I consider to be one of the best poets in Los Angeles, firing Miss Michelle Autry. Thank you, Michelle, for being on the show.
Well, you know, I just want to give thanks and praise to the Most High. I just give thanks and praise for Melvin, Ishmael, Johnson, and Earlene Anthony, and Glenisha, DJ Tiny to the World, and Jeremy. I'm just so pleased, and an honorable shout out to our beloved Tyrone, wherever you are. And so we just give thanks, and I want to pay tribute to all the sisters, the unsung sisters, and this is what my poem is about. All the sisters, all ladies, all women, some of them might be on Skid Row, some of them might be a CEO, wherever they are. I want to give recognition as we support and love and uplift and encourage and increase our brothers. We are not here to compete against you. We are not your enemies. Do not hate us. Do not compete with us. Love us as we enrich you. Please, you know, this is, I think, an issue between black men and women, and now it's even prophesied in the Bible. Men will be lovers of themselves. Women will turn to each other. We have this prophecy, and we have the commandment to endure and overcome. That is God's will. So to that end, I want to dedicate this poem to all the sisters. And when you see a woman in the street, you know, you need to lift her up, because that's somebody's daughter and probably somebody's mother. It could have been me. It's been 1 year and some weeks since the police beat down that little black lady in the streets. Yeah, it could have been me, y'all. You know, it could have been me. That little black lady that the police beat to death in the middle of the street. If anything, you know, she could have been subdued appropriately. That could have been me. Y'all, that could have been me. I just keep on thinking that could have been me. Yeah, you heard they choked her to death and later on she died while in their custody. That was a lynch. She was choked without a rope. I just keep on thinking it could have been me that the police beat down in the street that little black lady. I mean, what are they trying to do? Go back to slavery with all of this white supremacy and police brutality where the lives of black people and poor people don't mean anything? After all, she wasn't a white lady. She wasn't even a Mexican. Not that it would have been any more or less of a sin. Oh, I ain't hating. This message, I'm simply communicating. But the police and those who choose to believe in white supremacy say that she was a number two, probably a crackhead or a prostitute. The police said that little black lady in the street, for everyone to see, they beat her, and she looked just like me. The only difference is that she claimed Cuban as her nationality. I'm American, but I'm not proud to be. But I ain't tripping, because they would call me a mad, bad, sad, and angry black lady. Please tell me just what kind of fear, jealousy, and hatred drives them. I heard she was beat down by 6 or 7 big, strong men, using lies to justify and to hide homicides and desecration of our civil rights. Tell me, do I have to constantly be looking behind me daily while walking down the street? She was just a dancing in the street. They said that she was a crackhead and that she was crazy. That still don't mean they had to beat down that little black lady in the middle of the street for the whole community to see. You see, what they wanted to do really was to instill fear just between you and me, just like the Nazis. I mean, they are the ones with the secret society steeped in homosexuality, bestiality, and evil child sacrificial ritual,
Everybody knows about the Illuminati, the Skull and Bones. Come on. They done gone back to Babylon and the evil empire from Rome. Only now it's known as the New World Order that sits on America's throne. Again, that could have been me. I can hear the police ever so clearly. Let's choke it. Let's beat it down. Let's say that it's a man just because we can. So we can do whatever we want to do. She ain't a number one. She's a number two. That is the code that they choose to use. And you know just what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to take everything from them. Their jobs, their money, their homes, their children, and their men. And then we get to kill them. They even got some black men to commit the sin. It hurts me just so deeply in my heart that I don't even know where to start. They say it's all right. She's not pure white. It's all right. She's not Snow White. Go out and kill that roach, that fag tonight. They would lie just to justify the homicide, just like I said. They even got some black men to commit the sin. They say, she's so little, she's so ugly, she's so skinny. That roach really offends me. After all, we gods, we kings, we the cream of the crop. This problem, this troublemaker, we got to stop. Please tell me, how could they sell their souls, receive a lie, and believe that it could make them whole? Just think, that could have been me. Yeah, I think about it repeatedly. Because I walk down the same streets daily. And I'll bet you that she was pretty and sexy. And they say, well, she's not supposed to be. They look at her offensively. Tell me, what did she do? Threaten some white lady feeling jealousy and insecurity? What did they say? Oh, it's just so scary. It makes me feel funny. She smells. They probably said she was a devil, a witch, a stalker, a weirdo, a crazy hoe, sex demon who takes off all of her clothes. Yes, I know, because they say the same thing about me daily. Yeah, it could have been me. That little black lady that the police beat down to death in the middle of the street was another that did not die, but the police sent her to jail behind some crooked cop's lies and evil tales. Yeah, that could have been me too. Tomorrow it could be you. So what you gonna do to stop the abuse? All right, thank you.
Okay, what was the motivation behind that piece?
Well, as you all know, I work very closely with LA CAN, Los Angeles Community Action Network, and Los Angeles Community Action Network, which was founded by Pete White and Becky Dennison, but Pete White, works to expose police brutality and to protect and to maintain access to affordable housing downtown. And during the beginning of the regentrification process, there were a lot more clashes between the homeless and the police. There still are, but there is no media news coverage of the abuse that the homeless suffer. Many of those black people are beaten to death. Those women were raped. A lot of those black women were coming up dead. And, you know, finally they arrested one man for over, you know, 30 years of a history of murders of black women. Mm-hmm. And a lot, some of them happened on Skid Row. And long story short, this particular woman, well, there are a few women that were beaten by the police. This woman was beaten to death. And L.A. CAN actually defended another woman who lived, who I kind of mentioned at the end of the poem. Mm-hmm. That was Faith Hernandez. She was actually pulled in the middle of the street and just beat down. Every time she got back up, they trip her and beat her down, broke her ribs. And then they blamed her for assault on a police officer. Now, she was a Cuban. And everyone caught it on film. And it was a fear tactic. It was a neo-Nazi fear tactic. I think this happened at Stanford at 6. And so it was kind of, I wrote that poem as a response to the black woman who was murdered, and then Faith, who they were trying to put in jail on felonies when she was the victim. It was ridiculous.
Well, let me ask you this. Can you do a We still got time. You got another poem you can do for us?
Yes.
What's the name of this one?
Again, this is a tribute to women since it's Women's Month. And so this is and since I'm a black woman, and you know, I'm going to celebrate black women.
What's it entitled?
This is called Angel.
Angel.
Yes. And you know, I'm going to tell you something. This is really strange. This is how I know, you know, it's people that watch everything we do. Because right when I wrote this poem, did y'all start seeing billboards of a Charlie's Angels with a black female about a year ago? Well, I wrote this before that.
Okay.
And see, we are powerful because we can create change. So now they got, I never seen the show, but supposedly they got a black Charlie's Angels. So, you know, as long as we expose injustice.
Okay.
You see, this is called Angel. Ever notice that there are no black Charlie's Angels? Ever ask yourself why? What? I mean, don't they think a black woman can fly? I mean, they even had an Asian. So what are they saying? That the black woman has too much sin to be an archangel seraphim? I mean, they could have even picked beautiful Halle Berry to be a cherubim. But knowing these jealous people from hell, they probably would have called her Lucille, which is the feminine of Lucifer, Satan's name before he fell. Please, can just one of you just tell me why on earth Charlie could not have picked a black angel? Well, please do allow me to tell you why America would rather associate a black woman with hell rather than anything heavenly. You see, they'd rather call me a bat than an angelic being just because I'm a black woman. But you see, it's all right. We got it like that. This is just how that the white person keeps the lie of white supremacy alive. See, they have to first deny the fact that the black woman was the very first to fly simply because she was the very first to be alive before the white female. First, there were the remains of Lucy. Then there was Nefertiti, the most beautiful African Egyptian queen. And then Tutankhamun. And then there was the Egyptian queen Hatshepsut, who ruled Africa as a monarch divine in her own right, venerated and respected in all her people's sight. Not to mention the fact that besides of all that, Mother Mary, the very mother of God, was a black Jew. So ethnically, racially, and historically speaking, too, she was a black Hebrew, and then her son, Yeshua Christ, was too. You see, in order to keep alive the purely evil lie of white supremacy, the powers that be evil deny that the black woman can be as good and clean and holy in their eyesight, and that, yes, she can fly. You see, the powers that be would rather call her a crackhead and a witch and a prostitute, but to tell you the truth, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie were all just as white as can be. They were not black women, you see. Then Harry Potter was written by a white woman, so I'm not a witch. So come on, y'all, tell me the truth. Don't be deceived. I ain't hating. I'm just reality revealing. Help me to destroy white supremacy and racism, if you please, by revealing real history that have been hidden for almost an eternity from you and from me. This is because they don't want us to have peace and unity and confidence and disciplined, dignified communities. They would rather have us think of ourselves as a cheap, nasty, trashy strawberries that they buy and sell. But the truth is, I tell you, I'd like to remind you that we remember Mother Mary and Maya Angelou, Sojourner the Truth, Biddy Mason. These are all angels that fly high for all eternity, blessing, gracing, and teaching, leading us with their majesty and God-given talents and abilities. We give thanks and praise for all these ladies who would celebrate the feminine energy, and we give thanks for our brothers as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Now, I would like to extend a special thanks to our in-studio guests, Glenisha Taney Shears, Anthony Satterwhite, Miss Michelle Autry, and a special thanks to Jeremy and the Skid Row Studios. You can check out our past shows of the Qumran Report on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, skidrow.la. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report, and I leave you with the song that opened the show, Colonial Man by Hugh Masekela.